You're with 1-2 Radio. You're around the breakfast table having breakfast with Erica, which means it's a Thursday morning on 1-2 Radio, and you are very, very welcome. My guest has now joined me around the breakfast table, and I did tell you she's a very unusual guest with an unusual story. She is the author of Grow Your Spiritual Business, which is her first book, and I am going to be talking to her about that today. But she's someone who wants us to use our intuition. She wants us to develop our intuition, and yet as a child didn't feel she was particularly intuitive. She is an incredibly erudite person with degrees in psychobiology and electrical engineering, and then went on to do a PhD in metaphysical sciences. So this is someone who has a foot in both camps, who's very solidly grounded on this earth as a scientist, but also open to metaphysics. I just love that. I firmly believe that science and metaphysics can be friends. So it is my absolute delight to welcome to Breakfast with Erica, Lisa Kay. Good morning.
Good morning, Erica. I'm so happy to be here with you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. You're in New York. I'm in England. Mm-hmm. It's great. I love technology when it works and puts
us
together.
It works wonderfully, yes.
Absolutely. We both have a wonderful angel connection as well, because you're an ATP, an angel therapy practitioner, as indeed I am. You beat me to it by a year. I think you trained before I did. And yet you say as a child you didn't particularly feel intuitive. You didn't feel you had any connection. You wanted to be,
absolutely,
but you didn't.
I did.
So how did that work out?
Well, I always thought it was the most amazing thing to be able to have that inner connection, that how people would be able to know things without, you know, having had any previous experience or knowledge, or they knew, you know, not to get onto the plane that later crashed, or that they knew someone was in trouble and they went and then they certainly were. And you know, all that stuff was so mystical and amazing to me, like magic. And I loved it, even as a child. And so I was curious about it, and I wanted to see if I was intuitive or psychic. I tried the ESP cards, and I was, where you had the different shapes on them, you had to predict which ones were coming up. And I was terrible at it. I got them all wrong. And so I decided that I wasn't intuitive or psychic at all, and I wasn't getting all that, you know. I didn't see spirit, I didn't see colors, I couldn't predict anything, and so I just concluded, all right, I just don't have it. But they said you could develop it, and I've always tried to learn about what this phenomenon was and how it kind of fit into the physical realm, the human realm of, you know, psychology, and that's why I studied that. And I started with science, just trying to understand the world. But all along, you know, trying to learn about metaphysics and seeing how it all fit together to make it make sense. So I've always been interested in it.
I have a theory that because also I'm not particularly good at the SP cards, and I think people can get tied up with clairvoyance and not realize that we have many other clairs. You have clairaudience and clairsentience and claircognizance. And people think, oh, if I can't do the cards, then I'm not intuitive, I'm not clairvoyant. I'm actually not much good at them. I think it has to do, A, with clairvoyance, if that's your first clair, but also it's an awful lot to do with telepathy. And if you're telepathy and psychic intuition are not necessarily the same thing.
No, and I think they're different modes of connecting into that intuitive part of you, whether it be through vision or through feeling or through hearing. And most definitely we tend to gravitate towards one or the other, usually based on what we've experienced or the kind of person we are. So artists are more sensitive, so they tend to feel more, or if they're visual artists, they're going to see more things. I happen to be an amateur musician, so I hear things, but that's also because physically I'm working on those senses all the time. So I guess if you're a visual artist, you know, you're always working with vision, and so you're tuned into that. And I found that you can actually develop all the different clairs, though you start out with one that's naturally stronger for you. And I think also the other part of it, too, is there is a misconception over what an intuitive message is and how to make one happen. And so that's one of the things that I learned about through all my studies and research and taking courses and I took so many different courses and classes and certifications.
Me too.
But then I studied it too because I wanted to really know how does this all work, and if I could understand how it all works, I could put the pieces together and make it work for me. And I was able to do that. It was really, really fascinating. I find it the most fascinating thing about not only how it works and how it overlays with science and the brain, but also how experiencing it and actually when it works for you, it's so exciting because it really is like magic.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on the same page as you. I'm a Libra, and so I've got to take it apart and know how it works.
Yes.
Otherwise, I don't trust it.
Right, exactly.
Very much so. And also, you're quite right with the clairs. Nearly everybody would accept, even a skeptic will say they have clairsentience. They may not call it that. Mm. They'll call it a gut instinct.
Right.
Everybody has that sense of, I just don't feel I should be there.
Yeah.
I play the flute. I'm not a professional musician, but I play the flute. I've just been doing a flute meditation. And to me, therefore, I'm strongly clairaudient. But again, I do sometimes literally hear a voice, but it's rare. My clairaudience, I described it to someone as like a thought that's in my head, but I know that I haven't had it.
Yeah,
and a lot of people can recognize that, and that's clairaudience.
Yes, yes. And when you, I think when you understand the characteristics of the psychic intuitive messages, then you can distinguish them between when you're making it up or when it's a true message. So for you, you've understood and experienced what it is to be a true message versus one that you're just making up. So.
Yeah, and it just takes a bit of practice.
Oh, a lot of practice.
You start out thinking, is this my imagination? And when you begin, sometimes it may be. But actually, it doesn't matter because the more you practice it, the more you begin to find the subtle difference between the two.
And that's what I tell my students all the time. I get a lot of people who, because I teach how to develop your intuition, the first question is, how do I know when it's me and when I'm making it up and when it's a real message, real intuition? And I have to tell them actually the real answer to that is practice. You know, it's not the best answer that people like to hear, but because what happens is it's just like learning tennis or learning how to play baseball or any sort of physical skill or any skill, learning how to play the flute. You have to do it. And as you do it, you're going to experience when things aren't quite right. I used to play the violin, so I knew when I wasn't getting the bow just right on the string. It didn't sound so good. And when it was right on the string, it sounded wonderful. But so you know when things aren't working. If you miss the ball when you're trying to play tennis, then you hit it out of the court. You know that wasn't right. So you have to practice. Know what the misses are like. Know when it's not right, but then also know when it is right, and know when you get your hits.
And you know how to do it your way. I mean, nobody in the world who ever achieved anything great did it without falling down and failing first,
absolutely.
Because that's how they got there.
Absolutely, and having the right structure, what I discovered is through putting all the pieces together and being very logical and stepwise, that if you have a process you go through, steps 1, 2, 3, and I have 3 steps that you take, and then you do those and you work at it and start to find out how it works for you as an experiential thing, then it gets better and better. And that's the practice. And you have to practice on small things, practice on things that aren't so important so that you don't get all emotional about it. And then, you know, I always tell people, don't practice on deciding whether you should take the job or not. Don't practice
No.
on where you should find your soulmate. It's not, it's too big. You'd get too much ego, too much emotion involved. It has to be something neutral. And as you keep doing that over and over again on exercises, then you really understand, oh, now I know how it comes to me. I know how it pops up at me. I like to tell a story about how I discovered how images pop up at, you know, when they come to me. One of the things I did, I was visiting a doctor, and who happened to be someone I had been seeing for a long time, and I was going periodically to see him, and you know, we were friendly, and I knew the last time I had gone to see him that he was having problems with his back. And I was wondering, gee, as I was waiting for him, what, I wonder how he's doing. And I thought, I know, I'll use my intuition. And just as I thought that, an image popped up in my head. And the image was him hunched over on crutches, wearing a striped white and green shirt. And the second thought I had was, oh my gosh, don't think like that. That's terrible. So I dismissed that thought and I did my steps, my 1, 2, 3 steps, and I got some intuitive information about him, which was, it turned out to be correct later. But when he walked through the door, after I was waiting, he walked in on crutches, hunched over, wearing a white and green striped shirt, and I was aghast. I was like, oh my gosh. And it turns out that I realized that I had seen that image. I had kind of dismissed it because I thought it was just a thought, just a, you know, ooh, don't think like that. You're practiced into things popping in your head.
We're thinking we're projecting it exactly. Onto someone as well.
And then I realized, oh, I dismissed those thoughts. I shouldn't do that. And I realized that's how fast it came. That's how it pops at you and how it appeared to me. So that stuck in my head. And so now I don't dismiss the things that pop up, and I recognize the images that pop up first.
And how did you get from your scientific background to working with angels? Because that, some people would see that as quite a leap.
It's because I'm open to everything, and I love science, and because it really does explain a lot of things. But then there are things that it doesn't explain, and I like metaphysics, mysticism, you know, the spirit side of things. And I didn't really know where to start to investigate about that. Obviously, science is limited in that area, so I thought, well, you know, you hear about angels all the time. It's in the Bible. Almost every faith and religion has some sort of angel. Angels seem to be okay. And so I decided, you know, let me kind of find out about them first. I think angels sound really cool, too. You know, these beings that are full of divine whatever energy and consciousness, and that they're there to help you all the time. What is that all about? So I picked up a book. Actually, the book almost fell on top of me as I was walking through the
bookstore.
Don't
you love it when they do that? Yeah, and they want your attention.
It just sort of like was sticking out, and I looked at it, and it's like, well, that's a different, it was a little book on how to connect to your angels through writing. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. So I took it out and I started to leaf through it, and it's like, wow, this is really kind of, I can relate to this, because angels, cool, that's good. But then it had a prescribed way of communicating with angels through writing, step by step, and I like that, right? That's cool, I can do recipes. So I took it home and I thought, well, what the hell, you know, I'm going to try it. And I thought I was going to get garbage, quite frankly, and that the words were going to be gobbledygook. And so, but I did it, and a word would come, and then another word. I'd pause, and then a good couple other words. I was like, oh, this is going to be, you know, just silly stuff. But I looked at it, and it formed a message. It formed a sentence that made so much profound sense to me. I thought, wow, this works. This is really cool. So I started to do it frequently. And it was giving me some really wonderful guidance. Now, the interesting thing was, it got me a little frustrated because it didn't tell me what to do. It didn't answer, like, which one should I choose? It gave me guidance on which to help me choose. So, but later on I found out, well, that's all part of how angels work. They don't take away your free will. They give you guidance. So that was the beginning of leading me into more. And one day I asked my angels through the writing, you know, I want to learn more. I want to connect. I want to learn about this inner guidance, this intuition. What do I do? And through the writing, they gave me the phrase, angels come and go. And I took that and I put it into the Amazon search engine, and it came back with 2 books. And one book was definitely not for me. And then the other one was this book called divine guidance by a woman I hadn't heard of before. Her name was Doreen Virtue. But I read the description. It was perfect. And so I got the book, and it was amazing. I read it cover to cover. It was like, wow, this is exactly what I wanted. I learned so much from it. And then I was thinking, who is this Doreen person? I have no idea who this person is. So I looked her up on the web. I Googled her, and turns out she had this course called Angel Therapy Practitioner Certification Course. And all the courses that were were really booked out until later that year. So, and I thought, well, I don't know. That's not for me. I'm not going to be an angel person, an angel reader. That's like too woo-woo. But I love the description. I was like, that's exactly what I want to learn. I was drawn to it. And I kept going back to that webpage. I, you know, put it aside, next day go back to it, and put it aside and go back to it a couple days later. And then I figured, you know what? If this is meant to be, then, you know, I'm so drawn to this, I'm going to go do it. But then I was thinking, I've got a young son. I take care of him all day. I have to get him to school in the morning, and I have to take care of him after school. How's that going to happen? My husband works, he can't do it. But I thought, if it's meant to be, you know, I'll sign up. If I can't do it, I'll cancel. Well, it turned out that she was the lifeguard at our community pool, and she was graduating from high school, and she was taking a gap year, a leap year, before she did college, and she needed work, and she was available to take care of my son. So it freed me up to go. And I thought, awesome. So I went, and still thinking, oh, I'm not going to be this angel reader person.
And you find yourself in a room of about 300 or 400 people
and
with
people
different expectations, and you think, oh my God, is this going to be woo-woo? Is this,
exactly.
I've been there.
Oh, yes, right, because you've been through the what we call it, angel camp. And I'm sitting, but, you know, the energy was amazing. And, I didn't know what to expect at all, but it was phenomenal. It was like exactly what I wanted. I still didn't think I was going to be an angel reader. I just thought, well, I'll just go through and see what happens. And finished a whole week long course. It was amazing. The energy was great. I loved it and learned a lot. And at the end, they said, well, if you want to get on Doreen's website, we'll list you. Just do 20 readings with your friends and family, and I was like, okay, well, I don't know if I want to be listed, but I'll do the 20 readings. So I did the 20 readings, got listed, and then I started to do more readings, and I did more and more, and I actually kept the list going. Erica, do you believe that? I kept the list going. I think I can believe it.
When they want you to do it, they get you to do it.
I was just like on. I just figured, well, you know, I'll keep track. And it's about 550 readings later. And
just a few, then.
Just a few. I over 500 readings. I don't do readings anymore. I teach how to develop your intuition. But that's how it started. That's what I just kind of all of a sudden I'm in the middle of it.
Which is a wonderful story, and you do hear endlessly people who end up being ATPs or AIs, as they're also known, angel intuitives, depending on where you took the course. But I have to say, when the angels want you to step up and do it, they do kind of provide the wherewithal. They did for me. I trained the year after you, and listeners to Breakfast with Erica are quite familiar with my story, that I trained in March, and in those days, there was a basic course and an advanced course. And I came away from the basic thinking, that was fabulous, but I need to know more. I don't feel that I've got enough. And the very last advanced course ever was the same year in October. And I thought, how is that ever going to happen? Not only do I have to pay for the course and pay for my accommodation, but I also have to pay for the flight from the UK.
Which isn't close to where you are.
Now, how is this going to happen? You know, I had to scrimp and save to get to the first one. And it was extraordinary that year someone passed who I was connected to, but not immediate family. And she left me the money to do it.
Wow.
And I was blown away. I was just like, wow, that is so out of left field. And of course I went and did the course. And of course, then I came back and thought, okay, I have this now. I want to do it. I feel I know enough. And I was still working full time. And at that very moment, after 12 years, my contract went.
Oh.
And you sit there thinking, okay, this is where you walk your talk. You asked for this. You do not panic. Mm. You just kind of put it out there and see where it's going to take you. And I had seen someone standing on stage at the Advanced ATP talking about a company called, in America, and I'm in England, called 1-2-Listen. And I'm thinking, I'm just not drawn to anything in the UK. I'm so drawn to this company. And I had no credentials, nothing to recommend me, but I phoned them up, and God bless you, Mark Husson, gave me a chance to get, and I'm still here.
Mm.
6 years later, it has changed my life and got the radio. And of course, I come from a radio and television background, and no sooner did I join 1-2-Listen than Mark started up 1-2-Radio. And I, hello.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I'm listening. Okay, I'll put the two skills together, as indeed you're putting your skills together, that you come from a corporate background and a science, and you've put them together.
That's the exciting part when you follow your guidance, and the guidance, I believe, comes from, you know, if you're open and intentful to get divine guidance from your guides, from your angels, from all that is, it's amazing what it does for your life.
Amazing. It is absolutely amazing. I have to say, because we're also halfway through, I haven't given out your website yet, so people can go and have a look as we're going along. You're called Lisa K, the initial K, but your website is lmk88.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'll type that in the Facebook chat room, but if you're not with me on Facebook and you're listening to the replay or the archives, it's Lima Mike Kilo 88.com. I had to think about the call sign.
But those are my initials. And 88 is a number of abundance.
Of course it is. Indeed. And part of what's on your site, and in fact your new book, for which congratulations, is called Grow Your Spiritual Business. And that segues beautifully from what we were saying, because you, even if you went to Angel Camp or whatever you do that opens your spiritual awareness, there is always this moment when you think, I want to do this. I have this burning desire to do this, but equally I have to pay my bills and eat. How do I do this?
Mm. Yes, exactly. And I think a lot of people, when it comes to a spiritual business, then those seem to be two terms that are juxtaposed, that, you know, going out and being of service and doing the spiritual service is so not business-ish. But you still need some fundamental business things to get yourself out there. And it turns out that it's not opposing each other at all, that actually when you establish your spiritual business with the right footing and the right foundation, that you can go out and serve more. You can go out and do more for other people and be able to be successful enough so that you have more to give.
Indeed, and you know, because you've had a corporate life, you've done small startup firms to huge conglomerates, so you do understand this as a practice. So, how does the book work? Does it take you through steps, or how have you brought your knowledge into this book?
Well, it gives you some very basic beginner steps. It's actually both for people who are just starting to, who have no idea how to start, and or just thinking about it, and helping you decide to going through those thought processes on whether you should do it or not, to people who are actually have a business already and maybe they're struggling and they want to grow it and they want to become more established and get their name out there and get their word out there that they're available to help others. So that's what the book does. It really is a nice rounded, it touches on a lot of different areas. So it starts out with, you know, what's your identity as far as a business? Why are you doing this? How do you, what kind of a business do you want to have? And what's the best thing to choose for your business? That tends to be one of the big questions as
well.
Yeah,
that's so important.
Do? And how do I know what this should be part of my business? And then it goes into getting started, the basic startup steps, and how to deal with the, perhaps a lot of us spiritual people tend to feel that money is a bad thing. Well, money's not a bad thing. It's just
it's
a form of energy that needs to go around. It goes out, it comes back in. And, you know, just as you give, you need to receive. And then we also talk about spiritual marketing, which I think is really a wonderful area, because people say, oh, I don't want to market. And I'm like that too. I never wanted to do sales and marketing.
You come from a spiritual background and you've got this whole thing piling on the back of you of this is a gift and you shouldn't be charging for it. Then to go out and market yourself. If you don't come from a marketing background anyway, I can market anybody else. I can market them till the cows come home, but trying to do it for yourself, you suddenly go into the shell.
No, and I think the key thing about marketing, understanding it, is that it's, especially in spiritual marketing, is that you can't help people if they don't know you're there. And
absolutely.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to attract the people and let them know that we're available to help them and that we're here and what we have to share with them. So that's really advertising. And you can do advertising in a way that really is, hey, I want to get to know you, and I want you to get to know me a little bit, and let's start having a conversation. And that's the beginning. That's what the spiritual marketing starts out as. And we have three areas of marketing is spiritual marketing, which I call attract, which is the beginning, advertising, then resonate, and then synergize. So attract, resonate, and synergize. And so once you let people know, and people know that you're there, you're around and you're available through this advertising, then there's the resonate part, where you're building your relationship with your customer, your potential customer, so that they can get to know you a little bit more and say, oh, you know, I really like what you do. In fact, I like the way you do your readings better than maybe some other people. Or I love your approach to energy healing. That's the resonate part. You know, when you resonate with someone, you want to get to know them more. You want to spend time more with them. You want to be with them in their business.
And we all do readings or healing or whatever you do. We all do it slightly differently. So never think just because someone else is doing it differently that you aren't right, because somebody will want what you are.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Another thing, I did a talk in Massachusetts a couple weekends ago, and I had a gentleman came up afterward and he said, you know, there's just so many people out there. There are other businesses that are doing the same thing that I want to do. And, you know, why would somebody come to me? And I said, because you're unique, because you offer something that is uniquely yours. And people are also very different. And they may be looking for your style, your approach. Maybe others just don't quite resonate with them. And so we all have
something
to give.
Maybe you're just local.
Maybe that's a big one.
You're local, and the other people are miles away.
Sure,
take it to an. If there's nobody in your area, you're
right.
It.
Well, and like for example, for me, people come to me to learn about intuition and building those abilities because I have a science background, because I have an engineering background. So I can't go out there and promote myself saying I've been seeing spirit since I was 3 years old, and I'm this like incredible psychic medium or intuitive that started out, you know, when I was young, because that's not what happened to me. But
I bet a lot of people would then look for you because they're slightly put off by what they see as woo-woo, but they'll trust someone who comes from a place of science.
Exactly. And those are the people that I attract. Those are the people who resonate with me. And so that becomes the people who are looking for my services and want to do business with me or want to come for my services. So that's what everybody has their own thing, and everybody has their own story that that other people can relate to. It might be that somebody out there might have cured themselves of, say, Lyme disease, and they, after going through all kinds of things with doctors and nothing was working, and they found a holistic method that worked for them and it was perfect. You know, there may be other people who have the same thing. They're going through the same issue with their Lyme disease, and now they're looking for a solution.
Sure. Absolutely. So we've attracted and we've resonated. So where's the third part come in?
So the third part is to synergize. So now after you've resonated, now once you've resonated with someone, and that usually means, you know, you've done a little business with them, or maybe they've taken a free sample session with you, and they, and now they're coming back for more. Now they've become an established customer, and you want them to come back. You want them to keep coming back. What we found is that most of your business is going to come back from repeat customers. They love what you do and they want more. In fact, I had at one point in the beginning of my business, I had people starting to come to me to the one service that I had or the one class that I had, and they're like, I love that, I want more. And I didn't have any more. So I had to make more. And that's the key of synergizing, is offering add-ons, what I call add-ons, either it might be services or additional classes, extensions to what you do, so that your customers will come back and do more business with you. And that's what keeps your business going and growing.
And you've taken one step further, because looking on your website, you've got Angel CDs and automatic writing and all sorts of things on offer. But your latest venture is to be an author. That's the latest thing you offer.
Yes. And so I've got the book. You know, that's another interesting, people would come and say, oh, I love your course, and or I'm interested in the course, but I want to read more. You know, do you have any books you can recommend? Well, now I have a book I can recommend. But that's like you said, it's a nice add-on. There's so many things you could do as add-ons. Let's say if you're an herbalist or someone you're into like food supplements, and one of the things you can add on would be like a little mini course, a little mini lecture on the different herbs and what they're good for. These are good for curing, you know, alleviating cold symptoms or flu symptoms. This is good for stress. This is good for, you know, maybe menopause. People are interested in those kinds of things, and you can charge a little bit for that, and that keeps your business going and your customers coming back.
It is, and you use your strengths. And the other thing that you are, on top of all of this, is you're also a radio host. And it's lovely to have you on this show. And I know that in 2016, you very kindly invited me back to your show. Absolutely. So you have many avenues, and you're just expanding and expanding, which is exactly what you want to do if you're in a spiritual business. You need to get yourself out there.
Exactly. And there's a little caveat to that. So what I tell people, and you'll see this in the book, is when you start out, the first thing you want to do is pick one thing. You want to pick one thing that you're good at, and then you had add-ons. That's why I call them add-ons to that, so you can expand and do the synergy thing. But start out with the one thing that you are either most passionate about, or you feel like you've got the most, the strongest knowledge about or experience in. And that way people have clarity on who you are and what it is you do. One of the things I started out doing, which was not the best thing, was I said, well, I do all these things. So I do meditations, I do crystal healing, I do Reiki healing, I do I guided meditations, and I do angel readings, and I teach about connecting to your angels and intuition and so on. And I had a good set of customers, and I had one woman who came to me, and she said, oh, I love everything you do, and I shared what you did with a friend of mine, and I was trying to explain to her what you did, and because she asked me, what do you do? And, well, she does a lot of things. She does a little of this, she does a little of that, and she said, you know, it was kind of, it made me realize it was hard for her to clarify
to define
what
focused,
I do.
Yeah.
So I never heard from that other friend, because it's not, you know, people a confused mind doesn't buy. People don't know what to do, right? So I decided, all right, I have to focus on one thing, and I focus on intuition because that's my passion. I love it. I have a lot of experience in it, and I think I really have figured out a breakthrough way of helping other people develop theirs to like a massive degree. And so that's my focus. And then I have the add-ons. So I teach about energy, and I teach metaphysical energy and energy healing, partly because not only do I have the skill, but it is related to intuition. It's that psychic energy. That's how it works in our psychic bodies. That's how it works in our physical body, to give us intuitive information.
I think that's incredibly good advice, to pick one thing, because it is very easy to become scattered. And people don't know what you do. So even if you do lots of things, pick the one you're passionate about. Even if you picked one a month or a year or something, pick the one to focus on.
Well, you could try them on too, you know, especially if people are starting out. That's another thing I recommend is try it out and see if you like it. You might not like doing readings.
Indeed.
You might like doing energy healing instead. And then you go with that. But what that also does for you is it helps focus your message, therefore your advertising, your marketing, and your branding or who you are. So when people hear Lisa Kay, they should think intuition development, intuition teacher.
Absolutely. And it's great advice. And your book, if people are looking for it, published by Findhorn, is called Grow Your Spiritual Business. And clearly, Lisa, you know a lot about that. We are going to run out of time. So may I very briefly say, if you're in New York, if people want to see you in person, do they come by your website? How do people find you?
Yes, you can go to my website, lmk88.com, and I have my events there. It lists where you can reach me, how to reach me, and where I'll be next. So that's the best
brilliant
place.
And of course you have your radio show.
Yes, and my radio show is Between Heaven and Earth radio.com. You can go there, but everything's on my website, lmk88.com, and that's the you can contact me there directly, so just go there.
Great information. I'll type that up for you in the chat room. Lisa, as I say, I wish I could expand time, but unfortunately I can't.
That's fine.
So I have to say thank you so much for joining me today. It has been fascinating talking to a beautiful kindred spirit. Thank you for joining
me. Thank you for having me. It was lots of fun.
So here we go. Time is up. I just want to say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, the most wonderful, joy-filled 2016 New Year. I will see you on the other side in 2016. Take your angels with you. Have a brilliant time. Bye-bye.